Most gracious and eternal Father, we thank you simply because you have been good. We take it another further and say you've been so good. What a mighty God we serve. You're an awesome God, a great God, a loving God, a kind God. You are a good God. We give your name glory and honor and praise because of what you have already done for us. And we praise you for what you are doing for us. And we give thanks for what you can do for us. So thank you today for this worship experience, and in particular, oh God, we're grateful for this choir who helped us lift up Zion songs to your name. Thank you for their leading us into worship today. Now, God, it's preaching time, and we pray that we're able to worship you through your word. We pray you stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, touch these lips of clay that I may be able again to edify your people according to the power that works in me. And oh God, we pray you hide me behind the cross that they may see none of me but all of thee. And when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. Help me to preach boldly and with power and conviction, that your word may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We love you, Lord, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And together, every child of God shouted amen. Come on, let's give God some praise in here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We greet you again in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ, and we are so grateful again to be in the house of the Lord. It is another Lord's Day, and we are grateful that God has given us another opportunity to worship him in spirit and in truth. What a mighty God we serve. Thank God for our choir today, and we're grateful as they led us to lift up the Lord in song. However, I want us to look at today Psalms 121. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 121, and we'll read in our hearing out of the entire psalm, Psalm 121, and we'll read verses 1 through 8. Psalms 121, verse 1 through 8. If you have it, say amen. You don't have it, say wait. You can't find it, Sunday school, 9 o'clock. Come on, somebody help me. This is Psalms 121. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Song of Ascent. I will lift mine eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Just want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a timely tidbit. Keep your head up. Help is on the way. Keep your head up. Help is on the way. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Listen, beloved, one of the most powerful and potent and punitive words in the English language is the word help. For that word, with that word, we admit a position of total desperation and humility. With that word, it is a word that helps us to understand that that we need, if you would, someone to come to our rescue, someone to be at our aid, someone to be by our side. I like the way Dr. James Merritt described the meaning of the word help when he said, help is the cry of a mother with four children, three dogs, two cats, and a week at home while the husband is away on a business trip. The word help, he says, is a man, is the cry of a man sitting at a table surrounded by a stack of unpaid bills, hungry children, and an empty bank account. The word help is the cry of a woman who has poured her life for years into a marriage only to have her husband say, I'm leaving, I found someone else, and I don't love you anymore. You see, beloved, I don't know about you, but the truth of the matter is I found myself in a position many times that I've had to cry out for help. And I know I'm not in this place by myself. The truth of the matter is, beloved, I've come to discover that Psalms 121, we see this psalmist in dire need of help. I've been to that place, and I understand that the only person who could help me, and this is what the psalmist teaches us, is that our help really comes from the Lord. I hope that's all right to say this morning right up front, because if you don't know, now you know our real help, our true help, our only help, thorough help, comes from the Lord Almighty. And this psalm speaks volumes to all of us as we look and walk through it. I've come to discover that even though, my brothers and sisters, this psalmist has come to the place, no doubt, that he has exhausted all other means and measures and methods to try to find help, yet he still found none. However, there seems that he begins to remember and reflect on some things, he suddenly realized that although it may look dark and dismal and even disappointing, he says, I'm going to keep my head up because help is on the way. I like that. Keep your head up. Come on, somebody, help me. Keep your head up, beloved, because help is on the way. Keep your head up because the Lord is on your side. Keep your head up because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I believe, beloved, that this is what the psalmist is trying to teach us. You see, my brothers and sisters, if you notice, there's three things that the psalmist seems to demonstrate and express to us that if we're going to keep our head up, if we're going to recognize that help is on the way, first, we got to have a confidence assurance in the Lord. It's in the text. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. It seems as if the psalmist, after times of doubt and confusion, regains a confident assurance that his Lord is still in control. And thus he is allowed to be confident that the Lord is able to comfort him. Watch this. Verse 1, I will lift my eyes to the hills. Period. From where does my help come from? Question. My help, he declares, come from the Lord. Notice in verse 2 and notice again, beloved, that who it is that the psalmist is referring to. Listen, he's not referring to his ace boon coon. He's not talking about his ride or die. He's not talking about his best friend, our closest ally. He's not referring to a dear family member or a prayer partner. Hear me, beloved. He is referring and speaking of his Lord. I hope that shouts somebody today, because listen, he declares in no uncertain terms that I'm not looking to the hills, I'm looking to the hill maker. I'm looking at the hills, but beyond the hills to the one who made the hills. He says, my real help comes from the Lord. And I hope that helps somebody today, because listen, in other words, this psalmist gains strength that his only help comes from the Lord. And as a result, he knows that the Lord is able to comfort him. He qualifies the Lord by saying, my help comes from the Lord, watch this, who made heaven and earth. I like that, beloved, because listen, can you think of anyone you would rather have on by your side as your helper than the God who created and controlled this world? Is there anyone you would rather have in your corner than the Lord God Almighty? Am I talking to anybody today? Listen, I like the way Dr. S.M. Lockridge describes creation when he asked and answered, where did God come from? And he says, he came from nowhere. And the reason he came from nowhere is that there was nowhere for him to come. He says, coming from nowhere, he stood on nothing. And the reason he had to stand on nothing, because there was nowhere for him to stand. And standing on nothing, he reached out where there was nowhere to reach and caught something where there was nothing to catch, and hung something on nothing and told it to stay there. Now standing on nothing, he took the hammer of his own will and struck the anvil of his omnipotence, and sparks flew. He caught the sparks on his tips of his fingers, flung them into space and the heavens with stars, but no one said a word. The reason no one said a word is that nobody was there to say anything. So God said to himself, it is good. I wish somebody would help me. Listen, beloved, I don't need to tell you that the one who created and controlled this world can do anything in this world and through this world and with this world and for this world that he chooses to do. That ought to bring some great consolation to us and confidence, knowing that if he can handle creation, help me hear somebody, if he can handle putting the stars in the sky and the moon around the earth, if he can handle the creation of the planets, yea, and even creation of you and I, do I need to tell you that he can handle all of our struggles? He can handle all of our troubles. He can handle all of our difficulties, and surely he is able to comfort us. Can I shout you real quick? Listen, beloved, he's on our side. He's in our corner. He's got our back. We can cast all our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. That's why we call him a bridge over troubled waters. That's why we say he's a comfort keeper, a burden bearer, yea, and a heavy load sharer. Hear me, beloved. He says, there's a confidence and assurance in my Lord, and I can keep my head up because the Lord is able to comfort me. Listen, not only is he able to comfort, but he's also able to confirm. The psalmist says, watch this. Notice verse 3. He will not let your foot to be moved. Hear me, beloved. This ought to help somebody today. Notice the word move in the text. It is the descriptive of a word that carries, that means wavering or slipping. It's the word that speaks of a pole that is not firmly planted and is unsettled and unsecure. Here's the point that the psalmist is trying to make, that the winds of circumstances are continually blowing all around us. And many times those winds are strong enough to blow us over and knock us down. You ain't got to say amen right here. I know some of y'all can testify. Some things have hit us so hard that they literally feel as if they're blowing us over and knocking us down. However, everybody shout, however. However, if we belong to him, we recognize that he is our general contractor. And the psalmist is trying to let us know that the Lord has never built a house that has crumbled, and he never has laid a foundation that was not firm. And because we stand on him, life can toss us like a wind and the waves of the sea. Hear me, beloved. But because we are planted, because we are fixed, and because we are confirmed upon the solid rock, the rock of ages, he will not allow our foot to be moved. Help me hear somebody. We're going to be rocked by life circumstances, but we got to keep on standing. Listen, beloved, we're going to be tossed to and fro, but we got to keep on standing. We're going to fall down, but you know the song. We get back up again and we keep on standing. We're going to get hit from every side. And if you don't believe me, keep on living. That's what grandmama said. Gonna be hit on every side, but we gotta keep on standing. I know, beloved, how do you know that you're gonna keep on standing? How do you know that you keep on going? Some days, beloved, I don't feel like I'm gonna make it. I've been down so long that down don't bother me. Well, I'm glad you asked, because it's good to know that how to keep on standing. The reason why I know you're going to keep on standing is because when you look back over your life, come on, somebody help me, and you recognize all that the Lord has brought you through, and yet you testify that after all the pain, after all the struggle, after all the heartache, and after all the trouble, somebody can shout, I'm still here. I'm still here. That's why, in spite of all the predicaments, in spite of all my situations, in spite of all the stuff that I had to go through, somebody can say hallelujah to the Lamb, I'm still here. Listen, you tried to hurt me, you tried to take me out, you tried to do me wrong, but it don't matter, I'm still here. And we can proclaim, just like Langston Hughes, help me hear, sound people, I don't need this ringing in my ear, beloved, because here it is, just like Langston Hughes, I've been scarred and battered. He says, my hopes and winds done shattered, snow done frizz me, sun done baked me, looks like between them, they both tried to make me. I stopped laughing, stopped loving, stopped living, but I don't care. I'm still here. Are you listening to me? Is that anybody's testimony today that you are still here in spite of what you're going through, in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the challenges? You are still here. The devil tried to help me here, sound system. I don't need this. Listen, I'm still here. The devil tried to take me out, but I'm still here. You tried to rob me of my joy and my peace, but I'm still here. You took my job, took my health, took my loved ones, but I'm still here. If that's your testimony, like the psalmist, you ought to shout hallelujah, and you ought to give God some praise up in here. Preach, Reese. I'm trying to do that. If the sound people are letting me do it, hate me somebody. Listen, beloved, the truth of the matter is, I've come to discover, listen, the Lord is able to comfort us. The Lord is able to confirm us. But the Lord is also, the text suggests to the psalmist that the Lord is able to calm us. Watch, notice verse 3 and 4, the latter part, the psalmist says, he who keeps you will not slumber. And behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. Listen, beloved. First, the one amazing attribute of God is that he never slumbers nor sleeps. In other words, when we wake up in the morning or when we doze off after an afternoon, please believe God didn't just get up too. Help me hear somebody. God doesn't get drowsy. God doesn't get tired or lethargic. He doesn't get sluggish or need a cup of joe. He doesn't need to stop by Starbucks and get a caramel macchiato or a drink of Red Bull to give him wings. Are you listening to me? The truth is, beloved, God never slumbers nor sleeps, and therefore he is on watch 24/7. Come on, somebody help me. 52 weeks a year, 100 years a century, and 10 centuries a millennium. And hear me good, beloved, the reason that we ought to go to sleep at night is simply because God doesn't slumber nor sleep. Here, let me just give you an illustration real quick. Back in the days of World War II, the Germans were bombing London all night and every night. And after a devastating attack, the citizens of London began to search for the ruins of the dead and the missing. There was an old godly grandmother that they could not find, and though they looked everywhere, then someone finally found her asleep in her bedroom. Hear me, somebody. They said, Miss Smith, how could you sleep with all that bombing going on? How could you sleep when all of the war and all of the crashing and all of the noise was going on? And the old saintly grandmother simply looked at the person and said, well, it says in the Bible that he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So I figured there was no use in both of us staying up all night, so I went to bed. I hope somebody gets that today, because praise his holy name. If God is up all night. I can be calm and cool and collected, knowing that He is in control. The world around me may be in turmoil. It may be in chaos and confusion, but because of Him who never sleeps nor slumbers, there's a calmness about my spirit. There's a calm, cool, and collectedness about who I am and what I am. Life could be crashing all around me, trials pressing on every side, difficulties trying to discourage me, but because of Him who stays awake, watching over me, I got a peace that surpassed all understanding. And the psalmist took a deep breath, beloved, and looked into the resume of God, and he found that the Lord is able to comfort, confirm, and call him. And I'm grateful that the Lord doesn't sleep. Come on, somebody help me on us. And just because God don't sleep on us, I want to encourage somebody today, don't sleep on God. Don't sleep on God. Listen, and that's the vernacular that suggests that when you are in athletic prowess, that you are, there is an opponent that you have that's out there that may be better than you thought. Come on, somebody help me. And so the commentator says, they bet not sleep on such and such. They bet not sleep on him, because he just might be better than they think. Listen, beloved, can I say that about my God? Listen, we ought not sleep on him, because as good as God has been in my life, can I just shout you real quick? As much as God has done for me in my life, as many ways that God has made in my life, I've discovered that God can do a whole lot more than he's already done. Are you listening to me? I can't sleep on God, because I don't know exactly what God gonna do and how God gonna do it. I don't know how God gonna make a way, because if God can create a big fish to swallow a man, God can do anything. If God can feed 5,000 with a little boy sack lunch, God can do anything. If God can get up from a grave, I wish somebody would help me, after being dead 3 days and get back up again, God can do anything. And can I suggest to you, there is nothing, absolutely, unequivocally, nothing too hard for God.
Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that. Listen, beloved, this psalmist says, I can keep my head up because I got a confident assurance in my Lord. But then secondly, he says, listen, I also got a complete awareness of my Lord. Listen, beloved, hear me. Notice verse 5 and 6, the psalmist speaks of a complete awareness of his Lord. And as a result of his complete awareness, hear me, beloved, he sees that the Lord guards. Everybody shout, guards. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Notice the word keeper that he uses. It's the word that denotes attending to, protecting, or guarding. It is a word that speaks of being fully equipped and as an armed soldier to stand guard by the subject that he is protecting. Listen, you see, beloved, in the Lord, we see that we have a chief bodyguard of heaven guarding us. However, it would be enough for him to just guard us. But notice, beloved, he does much more than that. The text suggests that he presently guards us. Are you listening to me? For the small yet powerful verb is right there denotes present ongoing action. In other words, beloved, we can be confident of his present, persistent, and powerful protection throughout every aspect of our life, not only in times of past or in the future, but hallelujah to God, in the times of present. It's interesting to note in this verse that the psalmist refers to him standing at our right hand. Hear me, beloved. He says, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. Hear me. Watch this. We must assume that there is something of significance about the right hand. Hear me, beloved. It is said in ancient days that a soldier had two primary weapons, the shield and the sword. Both were an asset to him, but the most valuable weapon was his shield, because that was his only defense. The shield was held in his left hand, and therefore his right hand and the right side of the shoulder was his least protected side and the most vulnerable. So the psalmist says this, hear me, beloved, that though my right side is vulnerable, listen, beloved, it's okay, because my God is there and he's my keeper. He's my guard and he's my protector to watch over my most vulnerable point. Can I help somebody today? Listen, beloved, hear me good. Please note that the devil is a master strategist. Help me hear somebody. That's why the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means schemes. It means strategies, because the devil has strategies, and the devil knows where we are most vulnerable. You wonder why you keep getting hit in the same place. It's simply because the devil knows your weak spot. You ain't got to say amen. He knows whether it's your family, your relationship, your job, your home. The devil is going to hit you where he thinks it's going to hurt you the most, and where he thinks you're going to cave in. Listen, beloved, but here's the good news, that even in our weakness, help me hear somebody, our God is strong. Ooh, help me. Ooh, I wish I could shout somebody right here. Even in our failures, our God is faithful. And even as a result, help me hear somebody, he is there in the trials and troubles and tribulations of life. And the reason we haven't fully caved in, the reason why we haven't fully given up, the reason why we haven't fully thrown in the towel, somebody can say, is because the Lord is presently keeping me. He's keeping me. He's guarding me. And he's the only thing that is holding the devil back in our life. And he would only let the devil go so far. And even if some tough stuff has happened in your life, hear me, beloved, God has allowed it so that we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Help me hear somebody. In other words, it may not feel good to us, but it's good for us. So God has allowed it to happen, but the only reason we're still here is because the Lord is our keeper. But watch this. Not only does he see, when he gets a complete awareness of God, he says the Lord guards, but he also says the Lord guide. Watch verse 6. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. In other words, he is with us to direct us. Hear me, beloved, and listen. He guides us in the daylight, whoo, and in the dark. He guides us when the sun is shining, and even when the sun is not shining on the outside, both the bright light of the sun and the night light of the moon, he is there to lead, direct, and to guide our steps. Friend, listen, beloved, no need to sweat, no need to shiver, no need to shake, for God is our guide. Can I say that like the songwriter wrote? He wrote it like this when he said, there's not a friend, help me hear somebody, like the lowly Jesus. He goes on to say, no not one, none else could heal all soul diseases, no not one. He goes on to say, Jesus knows all about our struggles, and here it is, he will guide until the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. I help somebody would shout, no, not one. Is there anybody here today that know that God will guide you when it's daylight and when it's dark? God will send the sunlight and the moonlight, and he will guide us through. And beloved, we can rest assured that he will guide in the daylight for all to see. But I am most grateful for God's guidance in the dark. Help me hear something. somebody. I like the light. I like it, but I love when God guides me in the dark, when I can't see my way, when I don't understand what's going on, when I can't comprehend why all of this stuff is happening to me. But I got a God who guides me, and he shows me the way even in my darkness. That's why that he says the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. When do you need a lamp and when do you need a light? You need it when it's most dark in your life. Help me hear somebody. Just tap somebody and say, I know that's right. I know that's right. Thank God for guiding me in the dark. God, thank God for him making a way while it is dark in my life. Listen, that's what the poem Footprints is all about. Because listen, beloved, when things are going well, God walks beside us. Listen, beloved, when things are tough, when life is brought us to difficult days and the storms of life are raging in the dark days, somebody shout, God is carrying me. He's carrying me. Just type that in the comment section. When it's dark, God is carrying me. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thanks be to God that he's carrying me through. Listen, let me just give you this last point. I'll give you the bones. You put the meat on it when you get home. Listen, if we're going to keep our head up, hear me and hear me good. Watch this. We got to have the confident assurance in the Lord. Listen, but also, beloved, we got to recognize that not only do we need a confident assurance in the Lord, we also need to recognize that we got to have a complete awareness of the Lord. But lastly, we got to see the confident activity by the Lord. The psalmist now brings things to a wonderful climax and conclusion. He has described to us the confident assurance of the Lord. Watch this, the complete awareness of the Lord. And now he speaks of the constant activity of the Lord. Thus, he is on in his ongoing constant activity. We see that he, watch this, preserves us from all evil. It's in the text. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. Watch verse 7. It says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Watch this. The psalmist speaks here and informs us that part of his ongoing activity, listen, part of his ongoing activity is that the Lord keeps or preserves us from evil. You see, God does more than just protect us. He preserves us. Is that all right to say? For protection is not the same as preservation. Listen, we need both. So therefore, one of his ongoing occupations is that he preserves us from all evil. The word evil that is used here in the Hebrew language does not refer to evil that's done to us. Help me hear somebody. But it speaks of the evil done by us. Listen, I know you saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I know that you all that in a big old bag of chips. But can I tell you, the bag is busted and the chips are stale. You better recognize you ain't all that. And listen, beloved, you better recognize there's still stuff we do that ain't pleasing to God, even though we know God. I wish somebody would help me. It refers to those things, those acts, those deeds that are not pleasing to the Lord that we find ourselves involved in. And you say it ain't an action, but it may be an attitude. Help me hear somebody. It's not pleasing to God. You're lifted up in pride. You got an attitude problem, and you need a checkup from the neck up. That's what this word evil is talking about. This word is evil. It's talking about the stuff that is done by us, not to us. However, the psalmist says that when we follow him and honor him and love him and obey him, he leads us not into temptation, but he delivers us from evil. Thank you, Psalms 23. Do you realize that the only way that we can stay out of trouble is that God might preserve us, that God might keep us from evil. Can I be transparent here for a moment? Kenny Ray has issues. Help me hear somebody. I've said some things I shouldn't have said. I've done some things I shouldn't have done. I've been places that I shouldn't have been. And truth is, at times I've been toe up from the flow up. And yes, I needed a checkup from the neck up. I'm trying to help somebody. Listen, Kenny Ray is not perfect. Kenny Ray got issues. Kenny Ray got challenges all by himself. He don't need no help. Help me hear somebody. All by himself, he is messed up at times. Come on, somebody help me. But the only reason that I have not completely messed up or totally given up is that the Lord keeps on keeping me. I wish somebody would help me. You see, I've discovered there are some things that the Lord ain't gonna let Kenny Ray have, because Kenny Ray would be a plumb fool. I wish somebody would help me. It ain't just me. You know that if God gave you some stuff, you'd be a plumb fool. So God keeps you from some of that stuff, because you know that if you had it, or if it was in your reach or your grasp, you would have lost your mind. I know I see you in church every Sunday. I see you here shouting every day, but you better recognize it's only because the Lord keeps on keeping you, and there is some stuff that the Lord is keeping you from. Is there anybody in here that want to shout, beloved, on what the Lord has kept us from? You don't know what it is. You don't understand it, but he's kept you from it. And so you up in here today to give God some glory, simply because God done kept some stuff for you, and you're able to give him praise and glory. He preserves us from evil. But watch his last constant activity. He preserves us for all eternity. Verse 8, the Lord will keep you going out and you coming in. Watch this. From this time forth and forevermore. Everybody shout forevermore. You got to do your head like this. Manuel Scott say, forevermore. Forever, you got to, forevermore. The verse details one of the greatest statements regarding the security of the believer. For we are told that not only will God, will he attend, listen, to our going out and our coming in. Listen, beloved, but he will do it from this time forth. Woo! And the text says, forevermore. Woo! Help me hear somebody. You see, friends, if you could get lost after being saved, that would mean that God's authority and God's ability and God's activity was somehow not adequate enough to keep you saved. Help me hear somebody. Though there are no doubts, there are many times that we have become unfaithful to God. Listen, beloved, God has never been unfaithful to us. We are not secured by our faithfulness to him, but we are secured by his faithfulness to us. Am I right about it? And he is faithful, and that is all that matters. God holds on to us. I like the way Henry Ironside stated that salvation was like Noah inviting a pagan in his day to place his trust in God's word and come into the ark. He said, some view salvation like Noah offering to put a peg on the outside of the ark, saying, if you just hang on through the storm, you'll be saved. And Ironside went on to say, listen, you better recognize that salvation is not depending on our holding on to God, but it is God holding on to us. I like that, beloved. I'll let you go. I'll let you have your Sunday afternoon so that you can give God some glory and praise when you leave this mount. Hear me, beloved. But listen, when we can't keep ourselves, I'm grateful that our God keeps on holding on
to us. When we want to let go, is there anybody thankful that my God won't ever let go? That's why we got to praise him. That's why the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Because listen, he will never let go. That's why we got to keep on serving him, because he doesn't let go of us. That's why, because he will never let go. That's why I'm going to keep my head up. Come on, somebody help me. Keep your head up, because listen, beloved, God will never let go of you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I've got to recognize, listen, I'm going to keep on lifting him up. I'm going to keep on keeping my head up. I'm going to look past the hills to the heel maker, and I'll recognize that my real help comes from the Lord. Is that anybody's testimony today? Is that anybody's testimony? I'm going to keep my head up, because he got up, and because he got up, I'm going to lift him up. That's why the songwriter said it like this: how to reach the masses, men of every birth, for an answer Jesus gave the key. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. The songwriter went on to say, lift him up, because still he speaks from eternity. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Can I just help you real quick? Why don't you shout and tell God, I'm going to keep on lifting you up. I'm going to keep on praising your name. I'm going to keep on telling somebody that there is a God who will look beyond your faults. Lift him up. Give him some praise. You ought to shout, yeah, because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Say yes. Say yeah. I got one question for you. Ain't he all right? Won't he make a way? Won't he pick you up? Turn you around? Place your feet on solid ground? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Won't he make a way? Keep your head up. God is on the way. Keep your head up. God will make a way. Keep your head up. God will see you through. I look to the hills. I look past the hills to the one that created the hills. What's his name? His name is Jesus, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, my friend when I didn't have a friend. Yes, 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 yes. Give him praise up in here. Keep your head up. 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 Help is on the way. Keep your head up. Help is on the way. Is that all right to say today? Because I know in my own life, I've tried to find help in ways that don't please God. But when I came to myself, when I understood that there was a God who loved me, and he looked beyond my faults, and he will see my needs. Listen, beloved, I tell you, listen, life hadn't been perfect, but life has been better
because I've never had to walk alone.
You ought to give him some praise. You ought to give him some praise. You ought to give him some praise. You ought to give him some praise up in here. Listen. Listen, beloved. Here's a time that we got to realize that you need the Lord on your side. Minister Perseus Potuku is going to come and extend our invitation.
The message has gone forth. Pastor has reminded us, regardless of what you're going through, God is there. And all of us been through this pandemic, realizing that there's somebody we can depend on. And for some of us, the days have looked darker than others. But regardless of where you are, I promise you, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And if you would like to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we ask that you call this number that's running through the screen. We're not asking you to join a church building. We're asking you to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Will there be one to say yes to Jesus Christ? Perhaps you have confessed Christ, but for whatever reason, you allow the storms of life to make you feel like Christ is not there. I promise you, he's there. Call us so we can pray with you. Call us so we can make you a part of this church, this family. We're asking you to become part of Jesus' family. So if you need a church home, call the number on the screen. There's no one better than Jesus the Christ. No one better than Jesus the Christ. And he'll help you to keep your head up. Amen. Will there be one? Call the number on the screen. Amen. There's nobody better than Jesus. Nobody. Will there be one? Will there be one? He's here for you. He is here for you. Amen. Amen. We want to continue to pray for those who have yet to make a decision. But as we transition, please know that if you still want to call us, you can. Now, for those of us who are part of God's family and who belong to this church, we want to thank you all for your giving. You all have been very faithful. Since the pandemic started, this church, we can thank God for all of you for your sacrifices. You've continued to give. And we are blessed that we're able to give on all the various platforms. You can give through our PayPal, our Shelby Giving Online. You can even write a check and send it to the church. So please give in accordance to what the Lord has put on your heart and our responsibility to the Lord. Our responsibility is our tithes. Amen. And then the offering is above and beyond the tithing. So we ask that you take this opportunity to use the different platforms to turn in your giving. Amen. God can do a lot with the little that we give back to him. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for all that he's allowed us to have and all that he's entrusted to us. So please continue to give that God may be glorified, and then the work of the ministry may go forth. There's a lot of work to do. But as Pastor Emeritus used to say, smud don't take love. Amen. Amen. So there's a lot of work to be done, and Lord will do it through us. Amen. Amen. We thank you all for joining us today. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you for sticking in there and keeping your head up so God can use us to bless other people. Amen. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Again, Lord, we thank you for the reminder that you still a constant presence in our life. Lord, we thank you for the reminder that when things are rough in our lives, we can lift up our head and see the one that created the mountains. And Lord, because of who you are, because of what you're able to do, we're able to stand up and give you the praise. Now, Lord, be with us as we all depart into our various destinations, knowing, Father, that wherever we are, you are already there. So, Master, have your way. Be with us. We love you. May you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Amen. May the Lord be with you.